Chapter 62. Language, and bring it out, Mr. Venus. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he was the species of old gentleman, sir. Apostrophe slowly returns that practical anatomist, after drinking, that I should judge likely to take such opportunities as this place offered, of stowing away money, valuables, maybe papers. Apostrophe, as one, that was ever an ornament to human life. Apostrophe, says Mr. Wegg, again holding out Mr. Venus's palm, as if he were going to tell his fortune by chiromancy, and holding his own up ready for smiting it, when the time should come, as one that the poet might have had his eye on, in writing the national naval words. Helm a weather, now lay her close, yardarm and yardarm she lies, again. Cried I, Mr. Venus, give her t'other dose, man shrouds and grapple, sir, or she flies. That is to say, regarded in the light of true British oak, for such you are explain, Mr. Venus, the expression, papers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, seeing that the old gentleman was generally cutting off some near relation, or blocking out some natural affection, apostrophe, Mr. Venus rejoins, he most likely made a good many wills and codicils. Apostrophe, the palm of Silas Wegg descends with a sounding smack upon the palm of Venus, and Wegg lavishly exclaims, twin in opinion equally with feeling, mix a little more. Apostrophe, having now hitched his wooden leg, and his chair close in front of Mr. Venus, Mr. Wegg rapidly mixes for both, gives his visitor his glass, touches its rim with the rim of his own, puts his own to his lips, puts it down, and spreading his hands on his visitor's knees thus addresses him. Mr. Venus. It ain't that I object to being passed over for a stranger, though I regard the stranger as a more than doubtful customer. It ain't for the sake of making money, though money is ever welcome. It ain't for myself, though I am not so haughty as to be above doing myself a good turn. It's for the cause of the right. Apostrophe, Mr. Venus, passively winking his weak eyes both at once, demands, what is, Mr. Wegg? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the friendly move, sir, that I now propose. You see the move, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, till you have pointed it out, Mr. Wegg, I can't say whether I do or not. Apostrophe, if there is anything to be found on these premises, let us find it together. Let us make the friendly move of agreeing to look for it together. Let us make the friendly move of agreeing to share the profits of it equally betwixt us. In the cause of the right. Apostrophe, thus Silas assuming a noble air. Then, apostrophe, says Mr. Venus, looking up, after meditating with his hair held in his hands, as if he could only fix his attention by fixing his head. If anything was to be unburied from under the dust, it would be kept a secret by you and me? Would that be it, Mr. Wegg? Apostrophe, that would depend upon what it was, Mr. Venus. Say it was money, or plate, or jewelry, it would be as much ours as anybody else's. Apostrophe, Mr. Venus rubs an eyebrow, interrogatively. In the cause of the right it would. Because it would be unknowingly sold with the mounds else, and the buyer would get what he was never meant to have, and never bought. And what would that be, Mr. Venus, but the cause of the wrong? Apostrophe, apostrophe, say it was papers, apostrophe, Mr. Venus propounds. According to what they contained we should offer to dispose of them to the parties most interested, apostrophe, replies Wegg, promptly. In the cause of the right, Mr. Wegg? Apostrophe, apostrophe, always so, Mr. Venus. If the parties should use them in the cause of the wrong, that would be their act and deed. Mr. Venus. I have an opinion of you, sir, to which it is not easy to give mouth. Since I called upon you that evening when you were, as I may say, floating your powerful mind in tea, I have felt that you required to be roused with an object. In this friendly move, sir, you will have a glorious object to rouse you. Apostrophe, Mr. Wegg then goes on to enlarge upon what throughout has been uppermost in his crafty mind. The qualifications of Mr. Venus for such a search. He expatiates on Mr. Venus's patient habits and delicate manipulation, on his skill in piecing little things together, on his knowledge of various tissues and textures, on the likelihood of small indications leading him onto the discovery of great concealments. While as to myself, apostrophe says Wegg, I am not good at it. Whether I gave myself up to prodding, or whether I gave myself up to scooping, I couldn't do it with that delicate touch so as not to show that I was disturbing the mounds. Quite different with you, going to work as you would, in the light of a fellow man, wholly pledged in a friendly move to his brother man. Apostrophe Mr. Wegg next modestly remarks on the want of adaptation in the wooden leg to ladders and such like airy perches, and also hints at an inherent tendency in that timber fiction, when called into action for the purposes of a promenade on an échelle slope, to stick itself into the yielding foothold, and peg its owner to one spot. Then, leaving this part of the subject, he remarks on the special phenomenon, that before his installation in the bower, it was from Mr. Venus, that he first heard of the legend of hidden wealth in the mounds, which, he observes with a vaguely pious air, was surely never meant for nothing. Apostrophe lastly, he returns to the cause of the rite, gloomily foreshadowing the possibility of something being unearthed to criminate Mr. Boffin, of whom he once more candidly admits it cannot be denied that he profits by a murder, and anticipating his denunciation by the friendly movers to avenging justice. And this, Mr. Wegg expressly points out, not at all for the sake of the reward, though it would be a want of principle not to take it. To all this, Mr. Venus, with his shock of moldy hair cocked after the manner of a terrier's ears, attends profoundly. When Mr. Wegg, having finished, opens his arms wide, as if to show Mr. Venus how bare his breast is, and then folds them pending a reply, Mr. Venus winks at him with both eyes some little time before speaking. I see you have tried it by yourself, Mr. Wegg, apostrophe he says when he does speak. You have found out the difficulties by experience. Apostrophe, no, it can hardly be said that I have tried it, apostrophe replies Wegg, a little dashed by the hint. I have just skimmed it. Skimmed it. Apostrophe, and found nothing besides the difficulties? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Wegg shakes his head. I scarcely know what to say to this, Mr. Wegg, apostrophe observes Venus, after ruminating for a while. Say yes, apostrophe Wegg naturally urges. If I wasn't soured, my answer would be no. But being soured, Mr. Wegg, and driven to reckless madness and desperation, I suppose it's yes. Apostrophe, Wegg joyfully reproduces the two glasses, repeats the ceremony of clinking their rims, and inwardly drinks with great heartiness to the health and success in life of the young lady who has reduced Mr. Venus to his present convenient state of mind. The articles of the friendly move are then severally recited and agreed upon. They are but secrecy, fidelity, and perseverance. The bower to be always free of access to Mr. Venus for his researches, and every precaution to be taken against their attracting observation in the neighborhood. There's a footstep. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaims Venus. Where? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cries Wegg, starting. Outside. Saint. Apostrophe, they are in the act of ratifying the treaty of friendly move, by shaking hands upon it. They softly break off, light their pipes which have gone out, and lean back in their chairs. No doubt, a footstep. It approaches the window, and a hand taps at the glass. Come in. Apostrophe, apostrophe, calls Wegg, meaning come round by the door. But the heavy old-fashioned sash is slowly raised, and a head slowly looks in out of the dark background of night. Pray, is Mr. Silas Wegg here? Oh, I see him. Apostrophe, the friendly movers might not have been quite at their ease, even though the visitor had entered in the usual manner. But, leaning on the breast-high window, and staring in out of the darkness, they find the visitor extremely embarrassing. Especially Mr. Venus, who removes his pipe, draws back his head, and stares at the starer, as if it were his own and new baby come to fetch him home. Good evening, Mr. Wegg. The yard gate lock should be looked to, if you please. It don't catch. Apostrophe, is it Mr. Oaksmith? Apostrophe, apostrophe, falters Wegg. It is Mr. Oaksmith. Don't let me disturb you. I am not coming in. I have only a message for you, which I undertook to deliver on my way home to my lodgings. I was in two minds about coming beyond the gate without ringing, not knowing what you might have a dog about. Apostrophe, I wish I had, apostrophe, mutters Wegg, with his back turned as he rose from his chair. Saint. Hush. The talking over stranger, Mr. Venus. Apostrophe, is that anyone I know? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquires the staring secretary. No, Mr. Oaksmith. Friend of mine. Passing the evening with me. Apostrophe, oh. I beg his pardon. Mr. Boffin wishes you to know that he does not expect you to stay at home any evening, on the chance of his coming. It has occurred to him that he may, without intending it, have been a tie upon you. In future, if he should come without notice, he will take his chance of finding you, and it will be all the same to him, if he does not. I undertook to tell you on my way. That's all. Apostrophe, with that, and good night, apostrophe, the secretary lowers the window, and disappears. They listen, and hear his footsteps go back to the gate, and hear the gate close after him. And for that individual, Mr. Venus, apostrophe, remarks Wegg, when he is fully gone, I have been passed over. Let me ask you, what do you think of him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, apparently, Mr. Venus does not know what to think of him, for he makes sundry efforts to reply, without delivering himself of any other articulate utterance than, that he has a singular look. A double look, you mean, sir, apostrophe, rejoins Wegg, playing bitterly upon the word. That's his look. Any amount of singular look for me, but not a double look. That's an underhanded mind, sir. Apostrophe, do you say there's something against him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Venus asks. Something against him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeats Wegg. Something? What would the relief be to my feelings as a fellow man, if I wasn't the slave of truth, and didn't feel myself compelled to answer everything? Apostrophe, apostrophe, see into what wonderful maudlin refuges featherless ostriches plunge their heads. It is such unspeakable moral compensation to Wegg, to be overcome by the consideration, that Mr. Oaksmith has an underhanded mind. On this starlight night, Mr. Venus, apostrophe, he remarks, when he is showing that friendly mover out across the yard, and both are something the worse for mixing again and again. On this starlight night, to think that talking over strangers, and underhanded minds, can go walking home under the sky, as if they was all square. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the spectacle of those orbs, apostrophe, says Mr. Venus, gazing upward with his hat tumbling off, brings heavy on me her crushing words, that she did not wish to regard herself, nor yet to be regarded in, that apostrophe, I know, I know. You needn't repeat 'em, apostrophe, says Wegg, pressing his hand. But think how those stars steady me in the cause of the right against some that shall be nameless. It isn't that I bear malice. But see how they glisten with old remembrances. Old remembrances of what, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Venus begins drearily replying, of her words, in her own handwriting, that she does not wish to regard herself, nor yet apostrophe when Silas cuts him short with dignity. No, sir. Remembrances of our house, of Master George, of Aunt Jane, of Uncle Parker, all laid waste, all offered up sacrifices to the minion of fortune, and the worm of the hour. Apostrophe, apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.